Una. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Jonah, one of our minor prophets. And I've titled this, Jonah, the Unwilling Prophet. Jonah, the Unwilling Prophet. We're in Jonah there, and I want you to look at the first couple of verses. Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Father, as we look at Jonah tonight, we know there are truths, there are things we need to apply. And most of us are familiar with the story, but Lord, there are some details here we need to really focus on and really understand that we might better be able to apply the truths of this book of Jonah. Help us to be open again to your leadership tonight. Help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we find here Jonah. And let me find my thing here. The Unwilling Prophet. And I've kind of divided Jonah up into two parts. And the first part is going to see Jonah running from God. Jonah running from God. Now we look here at the first few verses and we find some information about this man named Jonah. And we see God's call. And then in the second chapter, we have Jonah's call to God. In chapter 1, we find God's plan for this man, Jonah. In chapter 2, we find a man's prayer to his God. In chapter 1, we see Jonah's rebellion. In chapter 2, we see Jonah's repentance. So I've divided this into two parts, chapters 1 and 2, chapters 3 and 4. And in 1 and 2, we're going to look at Jonah, as I said, running from God. Now we see here God's call to Jonah. We've read about it. God told him to go. And let's talk about the man and his background for just a minute. And his times. Really, this is kind of a strange prophet or book of prophecy because the only prophecy in it is about 8 words. Hello. The message Jonah took to Nineveh is the only prophecy in the whole book. But he's considered a minor prophet. The short sentence has 8 words, and it's a message God gave to him to take to these people. So he is a prophet, even though his message is a very short one. But we find that he's a missionary, if you will. God called him to go to a certain mission field, the people of Assyria and the city of Nineveh. But he's a missionary who didn't want to go. God put a call on his life, and he didn't want to do what God wanted. We'll talk about some of the reasons for that. He was very unhappy, if you will, because he saw that God was wanting him to go to these people, and he feared that there would be a revival among those people. And that would make him very unhappy. Who was this man? When did he live? Was he really a historical figure? Well, his name means dove. That's interesting. The Bible says he was the son of Amittai, who we know nothing about. But we do find a little more information about him in the Bible. Hold your place there. Go over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 14. 2 Kings 14, verse 25. 2 Kings 14, 25. There we find this. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant, Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. So while the book of Jonah only has one prophecy, obviously Jonah did more prophesying that we really don't know about. But we do find he made a prophecy here, and he's talking to Jeroboam, who, well, we'll talk about him in a minute. But it also tells us about where he's from, Gath-Hepher. That kind of, let me put a map up here for a minute, show you where he lived. I have to go through these to get to the map. There. Now, he's actually from over here. Well, they didn't give me enough of it. Right about up in where this would be. See that red dot? Right over in that area. If you're familiar with the Holy Lands, the Sea of Galilee, up at the top, the Dead Sea down here, are you with me? Jordan River running between. If you were up at the Sea of Galilee and you went west towards the Mediterranean Sea, about halfway over towards the Mediterranean Sea, that's where you'd find Jonah's hometown. Now, that's kind of important to us to know because it places him in the northern kingdom. It places him up there with the 10 tribes. And of course, what we read out of 2 Kings there puts him right in the middle of that situation, the 10 tribes up in the north. When he's dealing with the 10 tribes up in the north, everything is going great for them. Jeroboam II came to power, and boy, they had a great upsurge in their economy, and he took land back that they had lost. And during that period, they were doing real well. So Jonah's a part of that. He prophesied in the days of Jeroboam II, and that puts him around 790, maybe 750 BC in that area right there. We'll look at that time chart in just a minute. Jonah's also mentioned in Matthew and in Luke. And in both of those places, he's given as a type of Christ. Both places, Jesus says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, the credence of Christ mentioning Jonah tells us that Jonah was a real, honest-to-goodness, historical character. And what happened to him is a real, honest, historical fact. Jesus don't lie. Amen. Amen? Amen? And so we understand that. So we see the man and his background, and then we see God's call there. God tells him that he wants him to go. Now you say, well, how did God call him? How did God speak to him? We're not sure. The word came unto Jonah. Now in Jonah's day, there wasn't a lot of written scripture, so to speak. Maybe the Pentateuch. But we believe probably Jonah was spoken to either audibly by God or in a dream. In those days, that's how God was speaking to people. And so he gets this message from the Lord. And the message was, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. So there's a threefold command there. Number one, he's to arise. Arise and go to Nineveh. Number two, he's to go. And number three, he's to cry. So here we find a man in the Old Testament who really is a foreign missionary being sent by God. God told Jonah, arise, go, cry. And we understand this. Just like Jonah, God's will for our lives involves action. Hello. See, there's too many spectator Christians. Too many Christians who want to sit on the sidelines and do nothing. That's never God's will. God has something for us to do. If he didn't have anything for us to do, why did he leave us here? To enjoy all this? You say, well, it's pretty nice here. Yeah, but compared to heaven? Hello. No, God left us here because there's a work for us to do. Just like Jonah had something to do. It's not enough that we learn the facts of the Bible and the truths of the Bible. We need to apply those principles that we find in the Bible to our life. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. And it's interesting how God said, go to Nineveh. And look what he says right after that. That great city. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which was the empire of power at that particular time. That Assyrian Empire was the largest and strongest empire in his day. Now let me go back down here to these. There's the chart. And you find Jonah right there, you see him? Here's Assyria that's ruling. Here's the years. Here's Assyria. And now, right up in here, we find Jonah. And he's to go to Assyria. Down here, you find him. There he is, over there. And so we find him on the timeline. Now, the city of Nineveh. We're told that it actually had a round shape to it. Not only that, and of course this is where Tarshish is, this is where Nineveh was, Joppa, we'll come back to that. This is an artist's rendering of what the city might have looked like. We're told the walls had great towers on them, and I'm going to read you some information about the walls and things. But this, hey, this wasn't a little podunk hollow. God called it a great city. And so he's called to go there. So we find God's call. Go to the great city. Now, Nineveh was a massive city. It's on the east bank of the Tigris River. With the suburbs of Nineveh, it covered about 25 to 30 miles with its suburbs. Not only that, at the center was this core city that measured 1.5 miles. And this inner city had great protective walls. They say those walls were 100 feet high. That's a pretty high wall. 50 feet thick. And we're told that they were 8 miles in circumference. And on top of those walls, we're told that there were towers that reached maybe another 100 feet. Now, I never thought of Nineveh in that way, did you? I thought of a midi city, you know, maybe like Jerusalem was pictured. And no, this was a city of cities. Even to where God called it a great city. Estimates of the population of Nineveh, you ready for this? 600,000 people in the city and the suburbs. That's a lot of people. There's an inscription that was left by King Ashurnasirpal, boy, that's a tough one, the second. And this inscription that's been found states that about 70,000 of Nineveh's elite attended a dedication banquet at the king's palace. 70,000 of the elite, 600,000 people. And God told Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to cry against that great city. Now, I said Jonah was an unhappy camper about what God wanted him to do. Some of us already understand why. Jonah had no time for the Assyrians. You see, the Assyrians were the cruelest of all the people of Jonah's day. The word wickedness in verse 2 is the same that's used of Cain in Genesis 4:10. And Cain was the world's first murderer. It's also used of Sodom in Genesis 18. And Sodom was known for its immorality and sexual perversion. Nineveh was a city full of bloodshed and treachery. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, had this philosophy that might makes right. Brutality was their answer to everything. They were brutal, and I told you about the Assyrians last week, how I've read in places that they said when they would take a city, they would cut heads off and stack the heads at the gate. So when people came by, they had to see them. They would skin people alive. And other atrocities that we don't even want to go into. They intimidated the people that they captured, cities that they captured, with their cruelty. And they had picked on the Israelites on several different occasions and done atrocities to them. And so Jonah, when God said, I want you to go preach to these people, he's saying in his heart, there is no way. They don't deserve to be saved. They are wicked, brutal people. Why should they even have an opportunity to hear the gospel? And so, we find in verse 3, Jonah's response to God's call. Oh, Jonah. It says he rose up like God said. If you talk to Christians today, hey, I did what God said. I rose up. Yeah, but what did you do after you rose up? God said to do more than that. Jonah rose up. It says he rose up to flee unto Tarshish. God said, arise, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, all right, I'll arise, but I ain't going to Nineveh. And he went the opposite direction. He went to Tarshish. At least that's where he was headed. And it's interesting, the verse you read there. He's going to go to Tarshish, and I like how the King James puts it. He's going to flee from the presence of the Lord. You ever read the 139th Psalm? David says, where can I flee from thy presence? You can't get away from God. But Jonah was going to try. So he goes to Joppa, that's the seaport. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. Isn't it interesting that here's a man who's going 180 degrees out of God's will. Isn't it interesting? He wants to go to Tarshish, and just when he gets there, there's a ship going to Tarshish. Wonder how that happened. You think the enemy had anything to do with it? So he paid the fare. By the way, when you turn against God and you go out of God's direction, you pay the fare. Huh? Don't look for God to pay for it. No, you're on your own now, pal. God sent him to Nineveh. Hey, if he's going to go to Nineveh, God's going to take care of his needs and make sure he's going to Tarshish. You take care of it yourself. You pay for it. He paid for the boat ride of his life. He found a ship. He went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Oh, we find his response, I'm not doing it. And then we find God's chastening. And we know the story there, don't we? They got out in that sea, and boy, God sent a big old storm. And these heathen sailors are wondering, what in the world is going on? This is the worst storm we've ever been in our life. They started throwing the tackling and stuff off the ships that'll ride higher in the water so the water don't come into my, they're afraid of sinking in there. Finally, they're praying to their gods. Nothing's happening. And they go down and get this slacker down there. Verse 5, it says, every man cried unto his God. It says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. You know, I was reading after some people about Jonah. One man said, can you picture Jonah down there sleeping in the bottom of that ship, not knowing what was right outside that ship waiting for him? Right on the other side of that wall, a big fish that God had... Huh? See, sometimes we don't know how close judgment is. That's another sermon. And they go down to him. Look what it says there in that verse 6. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish. Hey, we've been calling to our God. You're down here sleeping. We're about to sing. Get up there and call on your God. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil was upon us. So they cast lots. A lot fell on John. Uh-oh. They found him out. It's your fault. And it's interesting. All of a sudden, Jonah got real honest. Verse 9, he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Now, I don't understand that statement. When I get to heaven, if I get to talk to Jonah, I want to know why he said that. I fear the Lord. If he really feared the Lord, he wouldn't be going the other direction. But anyway, he said, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Say hello to Big Mouth. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may calm unto us? And the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon us. So they took him and threw him overboard. No, that's not what it says. Verse 13 is interesting too. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. He told them, it's my fault. Throw me overboard, everything will be okay. They didn't do it. Now, I don't know if it was their pride that, hey, we can handle this. You know, I don't know. Just as they rowed harder. Tried to get to land. They couldn't. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her rage. They said, hey, we're going to do what the man said. We're going to throw him overboard. Don't blame us, God. This is your mess. We're going to do what we have to do so we can survive, but we're not trying to be murderers. The men feared the Lord exceedingly, offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. You know, all of a sudden they got saved. All of a sudden they're worshiping the Lord. Verse 17, one of the most controversial verses in the Bible. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Oh, what controversy that brings. You really believe he was swallowed by a whale?
Yep.
Don't have any problem with it. Well, you know, science says that can't happen. That's not true. There's a whale in the Smithsonian Institute that hangs up in the ceiling, if you've ever been there. It's, 50-some feet long or something. It's a huge thing. But they say that its throat is big enough to accommodate two or three men side by side. And they have histories of men who have been swallowed by whales. I read one of those histories. This outfit was whaling, and while they were whaling, a fellow fell overboard. The whale swallowed him. When they finally got the whale and got it killed and everything, and they cut it open, the man had been in the belly of that whale a day and a half, and he was still alive. And yet people run around saying, that's an impossibility. With God, nothing's impossible. And you know, even if it wasn't today possible for a whale to swallow somebody, if God wanted to, he could make a special whale. All right, now we're in chapter 2. Jonah's call to God. God calls Jonah. Now Jonah's in a whale's belly, and he's going to call to God. In chapter 1, verse 17 through 2:10, we find that after 3 days, Jonah's down that belly. Finally, he decides, well, maybe I need to repent. You thinking? How many people have we known that we've watched them go through the chastening hand of God? We know what it's all about. We know what needs to happen is they need to repent. And yet they keep hardening their heart, dealing with the unpleasantness of their situations. And by the way, the way of the transgressor is hard. So here's Jonah. Listen, I don't know. I would hope that 15 minutes after I arrived in that whale's belly, I'd be ready to repent. You talk about being hard-headed, stiff-necked, 3 days. And he finally repents. And when he does, God blesses him. We're not going to deal with the content of his prayer. We don't have time for that. But God responds in chapter 2, verse 10. And it says there, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah onto the dry land. Okay, Jonah learned his lesson, right? No. Jonah's quite a character. He's running from God. God deals with him. So now he says, okay, I'll do what you want, God. God has him spit out on us. So now we find him. Now he's going to run for God. He's going to go. But it's interesting how he went. Now we see in chapter 3, Jonah goes to Nineveh. He has a second call in chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came, watch this, unto Jonah the second time, saying, now listen, in verse 10, he's been spit out on the beach, right? So God gives him a little nudge and reminds him what this is all about. Jonah, I called you and you went the other direction. Second call. Listen, he's a God of a second chance. God says, all right, Jonah, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Go tell them what I already told you to tell them. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. Oh, he arose again. This time he's going where he's supposed to go. According to the word of the Lord. I think that's a wonderful thing. He finally decided to do what God wanted him to do. Unfortunately, his attitude wasn't what it should have been. And we're going to see that. Second time. Now, Nineveh was a very great city in verse 3. 3 days' journey. Archaeologists have excavated part of the ancient city of Nineveh, and they found it was indeed a vast city. Circumference of the outer suburbs of Nineveh was about 60 miles. 60 miles on foot would certainly be a good 3 days' journey. So he goes, he comes to the city, and in verse 4, he's going to do what God said. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, now here's his message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So far as we know, that's all he said to these Ninevites. 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was his message. Wasn't a real deep theological one, was it? Didn't have to memorize many verses, did he? Note, short and to the point. By the way, the gospel message is the same way. You can memorize 4 or 5 verses and have a clear presentation of the gospel message. Clear enough for a person to understand they're a sinner and there's a penalty for their sin and they need to repent and turn to God and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior if they'll have any hope of heaven. 4 or 5 verses out of that whole Bible. Makes me wonder why Christians have such a hard time doing that. Well, back to Jonah. Simple message. Look at verse 5. We find the people's repentance. In verses 5 through 9, they hear what Jonah's saying. And I like this. So the people of Nineveh believe God. Notice it doesn't say believe Jonah. It wasn't Jonah's word. It's the word of the Lord. When we go soul winning and I give people Bible verses about their need of salvation, it's not my word. It's his. When they accept it, it's the word of the Lord. When someone accepts it and gets saved, I didn't save them, God did. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even the least of them, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Hey friend, when you read this, this is revival. This is when the Holy Spirit of God moves in on people and begins to move in people's hearts and lives. And they begin to do things you would have never imagined they were going to do. I'm not talking about spooky things. I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about getting under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and saying, I got to change. And look at verse 7. He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that's in his hands. I love verse 9. That simple phrase. Who can tell? Who can tell what God's going to do? Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Hey, they repented, they turned to the Lord, and God said, hey, I don't have to judge you now. And so 40 days, the city was not destroyed. Well, I'll bet Jonah was happy about that. Wrong answer. Now God has to deal with Jonah again. Here's a great revival. 600,000 people coming to the Lord, accepting God, turning to him, being moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Jonah should have been jumping and walking about this high off the earth. That God used him that way. Look at chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, And he was very angry. Hey, revival broke out. And Jonah's upset. He's angry. It says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He said, I knew you was going to do that. I didn't want to come here. I didn't want to see those evil, wicked, dirty, rotten people get saved. And now look what happened. You saved them. They've turned from their wicked ways. They've repented. They're living holy lives. Now look what happened. He said, just go ahead and kill me, God. What an attitude, huh? Oh, verse 5. The people repented. They turned to God. He says, then said the Lord in verse 4, doest thou well to be angry? God says, Jonah, what's your problem? So Jonah went out of the city. He sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. You see, he's still waiting, kind of hoping that 40 days are going to pass and God's going to destroy this city. He knows these people turned, he's just sitting there watching, wanting to see what's going to happen. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it to come up over Jonah. It might be a shadow over his head to deliver from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad. Now God asks him the question, Jonah. Now God gives him an object lesson, gives him a gourd. And then verse 7. Now get the picture, it's hot there. Jonah's sitting out in the sun, so God is gracious to him, gives him a gourd. So now it protects him for a day. But see, God's going to teach him an object lesson. Verse 7. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered. Now God's taking the gourd away. And it came to pass when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wishing himself to die, and said, it's better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? He said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Boy, this guy, I'm telling you. Good thing I wasn't God. Then said the Lord, now here's the lesson. Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. God says, Jonah, you're all upset and you're just beside yourself and angry because I gave you a gourd and it came up and it was here for a day and now it's gone and you're all upset that your gourd's gone. And then verse 11, and should I not I spare Nineveh, that great city? Were no more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You know what he's saying? Jonah, you can have compassion and you can have anger over a destroyed gourd and a gourd that's passed on, but you have no compassion for 600,000 people? Don't you just wonder why God didn't just grab him, slap him around a little bit? But that's Jonah. The unwilling prophet. Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. It's interesting how that made him happy. He could find joy in a stupid gourd. But he could not find any joy over the fact that God spared 600,000 people. What's the lesson for us? The same one as Jonah. We can be so concerned about the physical things of our lives and have no compassion for lost souls. We can get so passionate about sports teams and about clothes and about cars and about this and that and the next thing and have absolutely no passion for the loss of this world. What's the matter with us? Let me say this to you. Be very careful about your being critical of Jonah. Maybe you need to ask the Lord if maybe you're not a Jonah. God didn't call me to go anywhere. Oh, yes, he did. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's for you. And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's for you. You going? When's the last time you talked to somebody about the Lord? When's the last time you set aside some time to go tell some people? See, your inactivity speaks very loudly about your concern. There may be some Jonahs in this room that God's put a call in your life and you have been doing like him. You're heading in the other direction. You bucked up like an old mule and you said, no, not me. I wouldn't be down around the ocean anywhere where there's big fish. Well, maybe God's not working in those ways today, but he's still working. Listen, there's a job to do. And that unsaved crowd out there, we can be real critical of them. Why, they're a bunch of liquor drinking, cigarette smoking, tobacco chewing, dirty joke telling, bar carousing, and on we could go, people out there. But by the grace of God, that'd be you. Except for the grace of God, that'd be you out there too. And somebody had to come and tell you why don't you be willing to tell somebody else? They don't deserve to be saved. Neither did you. Jonah is given to us as an example. An example of not having the burden, not being willing, being rebellious, having a bad attitude, so many things. One thing we can be thankful for, he did what God told him to do. And even with the bad attitude he had, God used him. Isn't that amazing? The word of the Lord. That's what does the job. That's what Nineveh needed. They needed somebody to come and give them the word of the Lord, so God could do a work in them. And that's what people need today. That's how I got saved. Somebody gave me the word of the Lord, and it got down in here and worked on me. You know, that spiritual heartburn? Tongues won't cure it. Rolaids does nothing for it. Milano won't help you. Just keeps burning and burning. Yeah. That's the word of the Lord. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the word of the Lord. And that's what people need. I don't know that much about the Bible. Can you learn 4 or 5 verses? And they're important verses. I'm not, you know, into easy believism, but they're verses that will show a person the basics of salvation. And that's all a person needs to get saved. Jonah didn't take any long messages to Nineveh. Simple truth. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple truth. Let's bow our heads. Father, help us tonight. We've seen Jonah, and Lord, most times we're critical of him. And there's things to be critical of. He had a bad attitude. He was disobedient. He ran from you. He refused to do your work. You had to chasten him and put him in a whale's belly to get his attention. And it took him 3 days to finally surrender. And then when you did a great work through him, he did not rejoice. He did not praise you. He was upset. And he cared more about a lousy old gourd. He cared about all those people that you used him to reach. Lord, there's a lot of lessons in that for us. Help us to dwell on it. Consider it. And when we find that we're lacking, and maybe we're a Jonah in some way, help us to be willing to repent. Confess. Get right. And then do right. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.